It's good to be here tonight and see all you people showing up on an off night, not a Sunday night, not a Wednesday night. I know it's a sacrifice, and when I think about this church, I think about a church that has made a lot of sacrifices. Think about people who have, over the years, made tremendous sacrifices of time and money. Just being here, attending this church, is an act of courage. I remember years back when Brother Lindell put one of those ads in the phone book in the yellow pages. It came out, they made a mistake in the printing, and it said, "Gatherings in Jusu's name." Anybody that read that, you know, that phone book knew you coming here, and they thought, what a bunch of weirdos. They're going to worship Jusu, you know. A lot of sacrifice. Some people have given up jobs or taken different jobs, given up jobs on weekends, or given up family, lost friends to be a part of this church, sacrificing time and money to send preachers, missionaries all over the world. It's a real sacrifice. And sacrifice that pleases God. Bible says that God is pleased with sacrifice. And I want to thank you all tonight for the sacrifices you make, not only this week, but all the time for the gospel's sake in Poland, for supporting us and taking care of our needs over there. I really appreciate all that y'all have done and meant to us. And this week especially, the extra sacrifices of feeding my family and taking care of our needs. I appreciate Bill letting me use his mobile home. So I haven't fixed anything yet, Bill. I've been doing what you're doing, though. I'm over there tearing things up. I want to talk to you tonight about something that is better than a sacrifice. Sacrifice is a great thing. But I found in the Bible that there are several things which are even better than a sacrifice. 1 Samuel chapter 15. I'm going to read verse 7. If you came here tonight to get your ears tickled, you probably came to the wrong place. And Saul smote the Amalekites from Havilah until thou comest to Shur, that is, over against Egypt. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag, and the best of the sheep and of the oxen, and of the fatlings and of the lambs, and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refuse, that they destroyed utterly. The word of prayer. Father, we thank you tonight for the sacrifice of your son on Calvary. We thank you for the blood that was shed for our sins. We thank you for the sacrifices made that we might have this word in our hands, in our own language. We thank you, Lord, so much for all your gifts, all you've done. We ask you to bless your word tonight. Speak to each heart. Give me the right words. And I pray that I would preach your will according to your word and that you might be glorified. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, God sent Saul to this city, and he said, I want you to go there and destroy everything. You just wipe them out. I don't want to see anything left alive in that place. Nothing at all. So Saul went, and yet, what happened? It says here, he spared Agag, the king, and the best of the sheep, and the fatlings, and the lambs, and all that was good. And then in verse 13, we read, and Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, Blessed be thou of the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. Really? And Samuel said, What meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears, and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? What do you mean you've fulfilled the word of the Lord? What do you mean you obeyed God? What are you talking about? And Saul said, They have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep. There he goes, blaming somebody else already. It wasn't me. And of the oxen, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God. And the rest we have utterly destroyed. And I mean, he included himself when he did right, and he included everybody else when he did wrong. Typical human being. Verse 22. And Samuel said, Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. to obey is better than sacrifice. You know what? Sacrifice is a great thing, and it pleases God. But God said that obedience is even better than sacrifice. But you know what I found in my own life? I found in my own life that it is somehow always easier to sacrifice than to do what I don't want to do. It's always easier to find something that I can actually sacrifice and feel good about sacrificing instead of obeying God. Yeah. But you know what? Sacrifice is never a substitute for obedience. It's just not. You can sacrifice and it's pleasing to God, but don't you ever think that that will take place of obedience, because it won't take place. God told Saul, you go there and destroy everything. Do just like I say. And Saul went and said, well, looky here. Got some fat lambs here and some fat cows and a great king. He could be an ace in the hole. Keep him alive. He might help me out someday. But I'll keep all these animals and we'll sacrifice them unto God. That's a good idea. I mean, God likes these sacrifices, doesn't he? Didn't he command us to sacrifice all these animals? Well, we're supposed to sacrifice animals. But God said these animals are supposed to die. He didn't say sacrifice. He said kill them. He said wipe them all out. Well, if you have kids, you understand the issue. You're not interested in sacrifice out of your kids. You're interested in obedience. And if you leave your kids at home with a chore to do, whether it's wash the dishes or clean the house or overhaul the car, whatever it may be, and you come home and they have spent 8 hours painting some beautiful picture for you, what are you going to say? Oh, how sweet. Do your chores tomorrow. No, you're going to say, hey, what's going on here? I left you a chore to do. I didn't say paint me a picture. Yeah, but Dad, I labored hours over this thing. Well, thank you very much. But now you're in trouble. And that may sound cruel to you. And I have been called cruel a few times in my life with my kids. But this is a simple principle. To obey is better than sacrifice. I mean, I've had people that cannot understand why I would spank my child for not going to and closing the door. I mean, I tell my kid, you know, this is when they were real small. They're a little bit more obedient now. But when they were just, you know, real young, I'd say, go close the door. And for whatever reason, they might not do it. You know what I'd say? I said, go close the door. And when they didn't go, I'd spank them. And on any given kid, it usually took about a half hour to 45 minutes to get this thing through, that when daddy says do something, you do it. But anybody that would walk in halfway through this thing would think, what are you doing? Spanking a kid because he won't close the door? No. I'm spanking a kid because he won't obey. Amen. The door is not the issue. It may be a door. It may be a bubble gum wrapper on the floor. It may be a crayon on the floor. It may be any given thing, but the issue is not this little object. The issue is not the door. The issue is not the piece of candy. The issue is obedience. And people would say, how can God do this? Because God said to obey is better than sacrifice. And I find that we ourselves as Christians find have an easier time sacrificing than obeying. And your sacrifice that you're willing to do could be any number of things. I mean, face it, some of us enjoy preaching. And it's a sacrifice. I mean, you lose your voice, you know, once every 2-3 weeks, you know, and you stay up late and you have to put up with a bunch of hecklers and nonsense, you know. But we enjoy preaching. We feel God has called us to preach and we can preach. And we get out there and we preach and we sacrifice. But you know, sometimes that may just be something we'd rather do than obey God. When God says, you know, you need to watch your tongue. You need to watch your attitude. Yeah, but God, I mean, I preach every day. I mean, I do a lot of things for you, Lord. I mean, can't you overlook that? Can I just kind of exchange this for that and everything's fine? No, it's not fine. To obey is better than sacrifice. Some people, believe it or not, have no problem giving their money. I mean, it is no problem at all. You'll find people in this town that will go to church every Sunday and give big, fat checks. They give big checks. Of course, there's some string attached. The preacher cannot preach on anything that they do. Well, they'll give a lot of money as long as the preacher does not meddle with their sin. Some people have no problem giving you money. And they say, look, I gave my money. I don't have to do anything else. I've given my money. You know, God may be telling them something that they're not doing. Maybe God wants you to just to go and talk to your neighbor. Witness to your neighbor. And you think, oh, Lord, that's a hard thing. How about if I just give a little bit more money this week, you know, and then it'll be all right. Yeah. I know how you think. That's how I think. Lord, what do I have to do that for? I mean, I'm not really good at that. Maybe someone else can do that. I'll just do something else. But if God is dealing with you in whatever area it is, there's a simple principle. To obey is better than sacrifice. And I have no idea what God is dealing with you about. It may be in your daily Bible reading. It may be your prayer life. It may be getting you to come to church more than once a week. Maybe try Sunday night twice a day. You know, maybe he's dealing with you about that. And you think, oh, Lord, but, I mean, I give a lot of money, or I read my Bible every day. Do I have to go to church twice on Sunday, too? If that's what God's telling you, you better obey. Amen. And you better never think that by giving more money or by praying twice as much, he's going to free you from the responsibility of what he's telling you to do. Amen. Question is, what are you supposed to do? What is God telling you? Maybe he wants you to give up something. Maybe you got the wrong kind of friends. Maybe you got the wrong kind of job. I don't know. Maybe you need to give up some pastimes that are hindering your spiritual walk. Maybe you'll give up some kind of hobbies or whatever, entertainment maybe, that's hindering your walk with the Lord. Maybe you've got some friends that are just bad friends. Maybe you just need to make some changes in your life, and God's dealing with you about that. The other question is, what would you rather do? You know what you're supposed to do. You also know what you'd rather do. It's amazing what you would rather do instead of obey. I mean, it's like kids. You tell a kid to obey, and it's a simple thing, but they'd rather do something that takes twice as much work, costs them twice as much pain, just because they don't want to obey. And how many times my dad, when I was raising my kids, he would say, oh, just do what your daddy says. You know, my dad, when I was young, there was no mercy. Just spank me until I was, you know, half dead. No problem. But, you know, once I got kids, he'd say, oh, come on. You don't want no spanking. You don't want no spanking. Just obey your dad. You know, just do what he says. Well, we all get soft. What are you supposed to do? You know what you're supposed to do. There are things that God is dealing with you about in your own life, in your own Christian walk, things that you know are not right, and you know what you're supposed to do. Amen. And you also know what you would rather do. And you try to make deals, and you try to cut deals, and try to avoid doing what God tells you to do, and say, well, Lord, you know, let's make a bargain here. You know, I'll trade you this for that, and then everything will be okay. No, it will not be okay. To obey is better than sacrifice. Some people have no problem attending church. I mean, they're here faithfully. And I thank God for everyone that's here 3 times a week and here every night this week. That's a great thing. Some of you, in the beginning, you thought, how in the world could I go to church twice on Sunday? And now you're here every week, every day of the week this week. That's a great thing, you know? And it's no longer difficult. I mean, for me, going to church every day, every Sunday, morning and night, Wednesday night, is not a problem. I was probably born in a church pew, you know. It's not a problem. I'm used to it. It's no problem. Oh, but there are other things that are a problem for me, you know. And I think, well, Lord, you know, I go to church every Sunday, and I'm always there. And God says, yeah, but there's some other areas that you need to work on. And what would you rather do than obey God? Maybe God wants you to preach. Maybe so. Maybe he said you ought to get out in the street and preach. Maybe he said you ought to go out and get on them doors and start door knocking, or go down the Alamo or something. I don't know. Maybe he wants you to do something, and you are trying to cut a deal and saying, Lord, but, I mean, I support the missionaries, you know. I give money to them. Isn't that good enough? Well, you know, it may be if God is not telling you to preach. I'm not telling you to preach if God didn't call you to preach. But if God's telling you to preach, let me tell you something. It's not good enough to support a missionary if God wants you to preach. If God wants you to go to Mexico or to Poland or some other place, it's not good enough just to support a missionary or support the work of God. It's not good enough. Why? Because to obey is better than sacrifice. You can't get around it. And you may have been trying for the last 5 years. I don't know. Only God knows your heart, and you do too. But don't ever think that you can somehow get out of your responsibility by giving a sacrifice. Saul tried, and the Lord was not happy. What did the Lord say about Saul? He said, "I repent of me that I made him your king." Oh, man. Didn't take him long to get off. God wants you to, as a woman, as a wife, to submit to your husband. Oh, that one hurts, doesn't it? To obey is better than sacrifice. Oh, but I mean, I do all these things. I mean, I'm involved in a lot of things, and I help a lot of people, and I do a lot of things. That's super. That's great. And God will take that, and He'll receive it as an offering. He'll receive it as a sacrifice. But that does not take place of your responsibilities to your husband. To obey is better than sacrifice. He says you ought to obey your husband. That's what the Bible says. That's not male chauvinism. That's God's word.
Amen.
It doesn't just say respect him. It doesn't say just say, you know, take care of him and put up with him and love him. It says obey. Oh, man. Oh, what? Yeah, obey. Well, what do? You as a wife, try to find some other way, something else you can do instead of doing what God says. Lord, I pray for him. You ought to pray for him. You better pray for him. He needs your prayers. That's right. I need your prayers. That doesn't take the place of obedience, though. It doesn't take the place of submission. It doesn't take the place of doing what God said to do. You know what you're supposed to do, but you also know what you'd rather do. Are you obeying tonight? That's the question. Are you obeying God? Whatever God is telling you to do, whatever God's been speaking to you about, whether it's this week or last month or last year, whatever God's been showing you in your daily Bible reading, in your daily time with the Lord, whatever people have been preaching to you and dealing with you about, what are you doing about it? Are you trying to find some way to get out of it by justifying yourself and saying how much you've done already? That is not good enough for God. He'll take your sacrifice. He'll take your money. God isn't going to reject your sacrifices, but it won't take the place of obedience. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Let me show you something else that is better than a sacrifice. Verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. This passage here says simply that you can be a eloquent, knowledgeable, giving martyr and do it all in vain if you don't have charity. You can be so gifted. You can have the tongue of angels. You can speak without a mistake. You can speak so that the whole world stops and listens to you speak and says, "Oh, what a great speaker. What a great preacher." And yet, if in your heart there's no charity, you're just making noise. You're just making noise. You may have all the gift of knowledge. You may understand everything. You may be able to turn this Bible upside down, right side up, and just make everything just as clear as a bell, and yet have no charity in your heart. What good is it? You may even sacrifice your life, sacrifice your money, sacrifice your time. Just give up so many things and have no charity in your heart. God said, you're nothing. You see, God is always interested in your heart. He's always interested in your motives. He's not interested just in you going through the motions. He's interested in why you're going through the motions. He's interested in not only in you preaching, but why you're preaching. What drives you? What motivates you? What sends you out there? Self-satisfaction? Get a pat on the back? You preach so that people can say, "Wow, man, look at that guy go. He can go 45 minutes without a drink of water, you know? Man, isn't he something?" Is that what you want? Self-satisfaction? Or are you preaching because you love those people out there?
Amen.
You're out there preaching because you want them to be saved
Amen.
From hell. You want them to be in for eternity in heaven with you and with God. Is that what motivates you? Because if it's not, God said, you are just making noise. So you see, it's not just enough to speak well. And I think you're going to speak well. I've been trying to speak well for 38 years. I'm not very good at it. You ought to try to speak well. You ought to try to be understood. It's not just enough, though, to speak well. It's not just enough to know. Not just enough to know things. What was that? Sound like a tinkling cymbal or sounding brass. Not just enough to make a sacrifice. Not just enough to go out there and give your life and put your life on the line. Believe it or not, it is not enough. I mean, we understand that it's not enough for a Roman Catholic priest to go to the jungles of Africa and give his life to baptize Africans into the Roman Catholic Church. We understand that that sacrifice is not good enough. He's trying to do that to be saved. You understand that. But do you understand also that it's not just enough to sacrifice your time? God is interested in your own heart. Look at some things in Revelation chapter 2. Interesting passage in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 2. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. Well, we're good at that, aren't we? We cannot bear them which are evil. Man, we got a whole spiel for the evil. We got our spiels for the abortionists. We got our spiel for the homosexuals. We got our spiel for the drunks. We got our spiel for the Roman Catholics. We have our spiel for everyone that's evil. So did they. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. Good at that too. And hast borne and has patience, and for my name's sake has labored, and has not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Thy first love. This church was commended because they could really, get out there and straighten people out. And they weren't deceived by all these false doctrines. But God also said that I got something against you guys. Something is missing. What is missing? Your first love. You've forgotten about me. You're so interested in all these things. Interested in straightening everybody out. Interested in standing up for truth. You've forgotten that you're supposed to love me above all things. You're supposed to love God with all your heart. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Charity is better than sacrifice. Matthew 5:44. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Do what? Pray for them? Pray for that man who's down there on the street cussing you out, spitting in your face, throwing dirt in your face, throwing rocks at you. Pray for them. Do good to them. Love them. Bless them. But God said, well, we can get so caught up, can't we, in our zeal for the gospel. And we get out there and someone crosses our path and crosses us and wants to dispute what we're saying. And how dare they do that? I mean, we'll give them earful. We'll let them know. How can they dare stand up and curse a man of God? Or how can they dare not respect the word of God? Hey, people, they're blind. Just like you were a few months ago or a few years ago. Think, but you better make sure your heart's right. You better make sure that you are motivated by love for these people. You better make sure that you are interested in them getting saved and not in you winning the argument.
Amen.
Oh, we like winning arguments, don't we? Ask me, I love it. Man, I love to argue. Ask my wife. Poor wife. She's been with me for almost 20 years now. The grace of God. I love to argue. But too many times, I lose the war. Man, I win the battle, but boy, do I pay for it afterwards, Oh, that wasn't very smart. That was stupid. So listen, winning the argument that I lose out in the end. And we were out there on the streets, and we're interested in winning arguments. We're interested in people saying, man, that was a good argument. Woo, you told that guy off, didn't you? Yeah, that's right. I sure did. And he went off saying, that guy ain't going to help me, and he ain't no... He's not a disciple of Jesus. I don't know where he came from, but that was not what I'm interested in hearing and seeing. That's not the point. It may make you feel good to win an argument, but if there's no love in your heart, Jesus said that you're nothing. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter 1:22. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. Loving the brethren with a pure heart. Unfeigned. No hypocrisy. No fakey stuff. Just pure love. Fervent love. And you can sacrifice. You go out of your way. Do a lot of things. Give a lot of things. But if it's not motivated by love, Jesus said you wasted your money. You wasted your time. Because he knows what's in your heart. You ought to be loving the brethren with a pure heart. Fervently. Ephesians chapter 5. That doesn't mean just loving the ones that are lovely, you know. That's easy to love the lovely ones. Doesn't take any work at all to love the lovely ones. How about loving the ones that aren't so lovely? How about loving the ones that can't sing so well? Yeah, how about that? You owe me one, Mike. How about loving some people that you just naturally don't want to love? Huh? How about going out of your way to show some love to people in this church? Ephesians 5:25. Husbands. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. How many of you husbands love your wives as Christ loved the church? God help us. Husbands, love your wives. You know, the problem is that we often forget what love really is. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We think love is simply buying them a new car or a new bedroom suit or, you know, showering them with gifts. And that may be in a certain instance, but it's not just giving money, not just presents. Look at verse 5. Talking about charity here. It says, charity doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own. Seeketh not her own. If charity does not seek her own, I'll give you three guesses what charity seeks. It seeks the good of somebody else. Right. Oh, we can love ourselves, can't we? But the question is, do we love somebody else? Do we care about their welfare? We care about their needs. We care about their problems, about what they need. Somehow my wife does not appreciate, you know, a cordless drill, you know. Buy a brand new one and she doesn't appreciate. I wonder why. Your wife doesn't appreciate that brand new engine you bought for your truck. You know, it's not a present for your wife, is it? She don't want that. She wants something for herself. You want to love your wife? Think about something that she needs. About something that she wants. And it makes her happy. And it may be totally impractical. If she's like my wife, it will be. Totally. Totally. She not only likes flowers, she likes to, you know, after they're dead. You know, she hangs it upside down on the wall. And I'm thinking, is this some voodoo stuff or what, you know? What is this? I bought you nice flowers and you wait until they're dry and hang them up on the wall. Scaring some spiritual or something. And you know what? She likes that. So next time I'm going to buy some dry, dead flowers. Forget them living ones, you know. Why bother? Get them a whole lot cheaper. Hey, just let me know what you like. It's fine. What are you motivated by? You give for yourself. You do for your wife things that make you happy, please you. That's not love. That's just plain selfishness, and we're all good at it. Spoke about wives obeying their husbands. Spoke about wives submitting to their husbands. You know, I've seen in most cases that if a man really loves his wife, and if she feels loved, she'll have a lot easier time obeying her husband. Oh, you talk about nagging wives and about disobedient wives, and she won't respect me. Well, probably because you haven't earned it yet. Probably because you're caring about yourself, worrying about your needs, about what you want, what makes you happy, what makes you tick, and everything else is only for your good, and you wonder why your wife won't obey you. Because the decisions you make concern you and your happiness and your health and your wealth and everything else. That's not the way to get a wife to obey you.
That's right.
The church is supposed to submit to God. Yeah, but you know what? God loved the church. I mean, honestly, how hard is it to submit to God? When you think about what the Bible says, no reason to not submit to God. He loved us so much, He gave His only Son for us. Why would we not submit to God and obey God? It makes no sense. Why wouldn't a woman obey her husband? Maybe because he doesn't love her. Like Christ loved the church. No matter what you've given, how much you've spent, what matters is, does she feel loved? Because charity is better than sacrifice. Look in Matthew chapter 5. Matthew 5, one last thing that is better than a sacrifice. There's probably a few more in this book, and that'll be your homework. Matthew 5, 23. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Interesting. God says that reconciliation is better than sacrifice. God is more interested in reconciliation than He is in sacrifice. He's more interested in you getting things right with your wife or your husband or your brother or your sister than He is about the sacrifice you want to give. But are you more than willing to give a little extra offering to avoid reconciliation? Are you more than willing to do a little bit more praying this week? A little bit more Bible reading this week? Preach, you know, one more time instead of reconciling yourself to your brother or your sister or your wife or your husband. You're willing to cook an extra meal this week for your husband, but you don't want to reconcile him. No, sirree. You're going to make him come to you. You're going to make him come begging for forgiveness. You're going to make her be the one suffer. You're going to just hold out. You're going to just give all you've got, but you're not going to humble yourself and be reconciled to your wife. God said that reconciliation is better than sacrifice. I wonder, how many times do we avoid reconciliation and we think we can get away with it by doing more? You know the verse in Proverbs chapter 13? Proverbs 13, 10. Only by pride cometh contention. Only by pride cometh contention. The fact is, more than likely, what's holding you back from being reconciled to your wife or to your husband or someone in this church or someone at work or maybe one of your own neighbors is simply pride. You just don't want to give in. You just don't want to be the one humbling yourself. You think, well, I mean, I'm better than him. I'm better than her. She should be the one that's humbling herself to me. And you think, I don't deserve this treatment. I didn't deserve that. I didn't deserve to be treated like that. You didn't? How do you know? What did Jesus deserve? And yet He said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And you're holding a grudge against someone because they treated you wrong, and you can't find enough love in your heart to forgive them. When Jesus said, we ought to forgive, reconciliation is more important. It's better than a sacrifice. Pride. The lack of humility to ask forgiveness. We're going to make them do it. And I'm going to hold out. When she comes to ask me forgiveness, then I'll ask her forgiveness. But she'll be the one to start off. I'll make her be the first one. Make my brother be the one to come to me. I mean, I did it last time, so now it's his turn to do it, right? That's how we act. Our pride hinders us from being reconciled. And you know, speaking about reconciliation, it's amazing how we can pretend to try to become reconciled with someone. My kids, when they were very young, they thought that the answer to every problem was, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I got so sick. I'm sorry. I just borrowed it from the vocabulary. No more. I'm tired of it. No one here, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for doing that. No, you're not sorry for doing that. You meant to do that. I'm sorry that I gossiped about you today, sister. No, you're not sorry. You did it on purpose. Right? Amen, that's right. We say, I'm sorry, but we're not sorry about it. We did it on purpose. You know what a better word is? forgive me. Boy, that was terrible of me. I am just a worm. I am just sickening. I am disgusting. I am low. I said what I said out of spite, out of hatred, or out of competition, or whatever it may be, but it was no love in it, and I did it out of spite, out of hatred, or out of competition, or whatever it may be, but it was no love in it, and I did it with an evil heart, and I am ashamed of myself. Please forgive me for what I said. That is a true act of reconciliation.
Amen.
Oh, some of you say, well, I'm sorry for that, but, oh, brother, here it comes. No, your sin is bigger than mine. I'm sorry for what I did, but, you know, I heard you yesterday saying the same thing to your wife or whatever. What does that have to do with anything? Aren't you and I responsible for our own hearts? Boy, we're good at confessing everybody else's sin. I'm sorry I did that, but you know, I've noticed that you've been that kind of way that lately, you know, and you ought to think about yourself. Think, okay, maybe I should, but, you know, if that's what you want to do, fine, but forget the I'm sorry stuff because you're not sorry, obviously. Why don't you just come to me and say, Brother Joe, you know, I've been noticing you've been really bad to your wife lately. That sounds a whole lot better than saying, I'm sorry I did that to you, but you know, come on, get real. Be sincere. If you're going to apologize, apologize and ask forgiveness. Otherwise, cut that first part off and just tell me what you want to tell me. One of the best ones is, I'm sorry, I didn't mean it. Oh, come on. I didn't mean to give you a black eye, you know. What did you mean to do? You know, bake me a cake or something? I'm sorry. Kids are good at that, you know. Kids are great. I'm sorry I did that to you. I didn't mean to. Liar! You meant to do it. You want to reconcile yourself to your brother or to your sister, whether it's someone in your family or someone in this church? Forget this I didn't mean it stuff. I mean, God knows your heart. You know your heart. You know you meant it. God knows you meant it. Try saying, you know, that was awful. I'm ashamed. I have no excuse. You know, I'm sorry, but you know, I had a bad day today. Oh, then that's okay then, you know. I understand it now. Anytime, you know. Anytime you have a bad day, come on over and take it out on me. It'll be okay. That doesn't cut the mustard, does it? You want to apologize? Ask forgiveness. Confess your sin. When quit trying to make it sound better or make someone else look worse and make yourself look a whole lot better. Reconciliation takes some humility. Just say what is really the truth. Tell it like it is. After all, you're not going to fool God. You're not even going to fool us. You know? At least not this crowd. You may fool a crowd somewhere else down the street, but not this crowd. Just say the truth. You're going to apologize, apologize. It goes for you husbands and you wives. Same thing. You're going to apologize to your wife? Just apologize to her. Well, honey, I'm sorry, you know, that I did that, but, you know, you really pushed me over the, you know, the line. I mean, you really, really... I've tried that a few times. It don't work too well. You know? It don't work. You get that cold shoulder. I'm sorry I did that. I didn't really mean to do that. Nope, that didn't work either, you know? Just say it. Oh, it's hard, isn't it? It is so hard. Forgive me for being such a creep. Forgive me, I'm a jerk. Forgive me, I am self-centered, I am selfish, I am impatient, I don't love anything but myself, I am a wicked sinner, forgive me, I have no excuse. You ought to try that once in a while. You know what you'll find? Open mouths. What? Really? Whoa! No, but you'll find, that's okay. I'll forgive you, because I'm the same way, I'm the out of the same stuff. But as long as you're avoiding the issue and you're trying to make yourself look good, you're going to get that cold shoulder. And you understand that. You are the same way when people do that same thing to you. When your boss just really goes crazy and loses control and balls you out and just reads you the right act, and he comes back the next day and says, you know, I'm sorry about that, but you know, I had a bad day and my wife brought me breakfast and all this stuff. What do you say? Well, what do I have to do with that, you know? Go beat your wife. Don't take it out on me, you know? Not my problem. But when he comes and says, you know, I was lousy. I was wrong. I had no right to do that. I was just wrong. You have any any grace in your heart at all, you say, it's all right. We all have bad days. We all lose it sometimes. And then you understand why God said he resists the proud. You resist the proud too. You don't like proud people. When they can't confess their sin to you humbly without dragging you into their sin, you resist them. You say, get away. Get away. I don't want to talk to you. That is not an apology. You're not asking for forgiveness. You're just trying to make yourself look good and make me look bad. I'm not interested in that. Reconciliation is better than sacrifice. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 shall inherit the kingdom of God. It's a tough verse. If you look real hard, you'll find yourself in that verse. If you look real hard, if you'll just be honest, you'll find yourself in that verse. You say, oh, I'm not an adulterer. Are you sure? Are you sure? Jesus said, if you look at a woman and you lust after her in your heart, you have committed adultery in your heart. You're not an adulterer? You say, I'm not a drunk. Never been drunk in your life, huh? Well, you know, once or twice, but I'm not a drunk. Well, how many times you gotta be drunk to be a drunk? Isn't it amazing? No drunks are drunk. You can't find drunks among drunks. They all say that they're not drunks. I'm not a drunk. I'm not an adulterer. Fornicator, idolater, thieves, not a thief. You never stole anything, not a thing, not a piece of candy, not a half hour from your boss's, not a half hour of your paycheck by showing up late, huh? Or an extra long coffee break. Now I'm meddling, ain't I? Yeah, now I'm meddling. You're not a thief. You're not covetous. You know what? You don't even have to look real hard. You don't have to look hard. It's there. Your name and my name written all over that book. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I don't care who you are, where you were born, what your name is, how much money you make, how much money you don't make. I don't care anything about that. The Bible says very simply, all have sinned. And the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. It's a very, very important thing to understand. The Bible says that every one of us deserves to spend eternity in hell. You're not worthy of heaven by nature. I don't care where you were born, where you went to church, how many times they baptized you, how many times you took communion. I don't care how many times you read the Bible through. You and your nature are not worthy of heaven. The unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. It's as simple as that. You can make yourself look good. You can wear nice clothes and go to church. You can just be a great family man. I hope you are. You can love your wife. Love God with all your heart and love your neighbors yourself. And you don't do either with all your heart and you don't love your neighbors yourself. You know what that tells me? That tells me that you need reconciliation. You need it. You need to be reconciled to God. Your sin has separated you from God. Your sin offends God. Your sin makes God angry. It makes God resist you. Your sin makes God say, you are not worthy of heaven. You're not worthy of eternity with me. You are a sinner. You are unrighteous. Read it. The unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. What is the answer? Most people think that the answer is sacrifice. Give a little bit more money. Go to church twice a week. Yeah? Walk 150 miles to go see some image or icon and pray to it. Walk the last 200 yards on your knees. It happens every day. We were down in Morelia just a few weeks ago in the mission conference in Morelia, Mexico. And we're sitting there Sunday morning meeting, I guess it was, and we're having a meeting there in the park, and right down the middle of our park comes a lady walking on her knees. And she probably walked, my goodness, quarter mile, third of a mile on her knees to the church down the street. I guarantee you that woman thinks that somehow makes her more worthy of heaven. That somehow makes her more worthy of a place in heaven because she sacrificed her knees, her time. She endured some pain, and she thinks that will make her please God. You know what God said? God said reconciliation is better than sacrifice. You see, God is not interested in sacrifice. He's interested in reconciliation. You can't come to God and say, God, I've done this, I've done that, now everything's fine. No, God demands reconciliation. Look in Proverbs 21. Proverbs 21:27. The sacrifice of the wicked is abomination. How much more when he bringeth it with a wicked mind? That's a scary verse. You're wicked? No, I'm not wicked. I'm a good family man. I love my wife. I love my mommy. I take care of my mama. I take care of my daddy. I work every day. I'm never late to work. You're not wicked? God says you're wicked. God says all have sinned. God said we are all unrighteous. God said not a one of us is clean. Not a one of us fears God. Not a one of us seeks after God. And the sacrifice of the wicked is abomination. It makes God sick. It makes God sick when you think that your sacrifice, whether it's your money or your candles or your going to church or whether you've given somebody a piece of bread, can somehow wipe away all your sins. What a joke. What a joke. You wouldn't forgive your wife if she gave you a piece of bread like that. You'd demand more than that. And your wife offended you, you'd demand her to come on her knees and say, please forgive me. I'm sorry. I've done you wrong. And you think you can come to God and say, oh God, you know, I went to church twice this week. Now everything's fine, right? No, it's not fine. It's an abomination to God. The sacrifice of the wicked is abomination. Reconciliation is what God wants. He wants you to become reconciled to him. Here we go with that pride thing again. Here comes that pride problem. Why doesn't man want to reconcile himself to God? Why is it so hard for you and I to become reconciled to God? It's his pride. We don't want to come to God and say, God, I am a lousy, rotten, no good, filthy sinner. We say, God, I know I've done a few things wrong, but you know, John next door, I mean, he beats his wife every day. I'm not so bad after all, am I? That's how we talk to God. God, you know, I've done a few things bad, but I never killed anybody. Come on, I mean, let's get real here. And that's how we think and makes us righteous before God. It's pride. And remember, God resists the proud. He resists the proud. What do you need to do? Look in Psalm 51. Psalm 51, 16. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. So we're going to read verse 21. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. The Bible says that Christ was made sin for you and me. Now, Christ committed no sin. He was righteous. Totally righteous. From day one to the end. Always obedient, always loved, never said a cross word, never had an evil thought. Clean. And yet he was made sin for you and me. He took upon himself your sin and my sin and was nailed to a cross for our sins. For what reason? Look at verse 20. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Christ died for you that you might be reconciled to God. He took your sin so you could have peace with God. But there's only one way. You got to humble yourself. You got to come to God and confess what you really are and become reconciled to God. And the Bible says that is when you do that, you will become reconciled. He'll forgive your sins. He'll give you everlasting life. He'll wipe your slate clean and you'll be his child forever and ever. And everything is gone. All your sins completely gone because Christ already suffered and died for your sins. It's called reconciliation. Made available by the blood of Jesus. Made available because someone suffered the agony of the cross for you. Made available because someone loved you when you were unlovely. Reconciliation. Oh, it's a marvelous thing. Didn't you understand it? And if you're not saved today, you don't know where you're going to go when you die. If you don't know where you're going to go, chances are you're going to go to hell. If you don't know where you're going to go when you die, the chances are you're going to die and go to hell forever and ever. But you don't have to. Jesus already paid the price to reconcile you to God. What about you tonight? Are you reconciled to God? Are you reconciled to your wife, to your husband, to your brother, to your sister? Are you loving like you should? Charity is better than sacrifice. Are you obeying God? Are you doing what God has told you to do? There's no excuse. There's no substitute for obedience. There's no substitute for love. and there's no substitute for reconciliation. Say a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for your mercy and your grace, for putting up with us and for your great mercy and for forgiving our sins. Lord, cleanse our hearts, turn us to yourself and revive us, help us to be what you want us to be in Jesus' name.